Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your comfort, for your encouragement this morning. Father, let this song become our faith to trust you, to love you. Even we don't feel it or we don't see it, but we trust you that you are working for us, that you answer our prayer. You are a miracle worker. You are a God of a promise keeper. Father, we love you. We exalt your name this morning. Any lie that make us doubt of your love, we cast and we break it in the name of Jesus. We love you, we honor you, and we have hope and we have expectation for 2020 that you answer our prayer. Father, we ask you that you walk with us in this year, 2020, so your name be glorified. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Last week, my daughter Ruth preached about the Word of God. And this is a good reminder for 2020. We have to love the Word of God. And the second week, I want to share about we have to love to pray. That is, I take the verse from Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 to 9. Philippians chapter 4. And please, Aswin, let this verse leave this verse on the screen for the whole time. Because I want everyone. Can you make it a bit smaller, Aswin? So everyone who read this verse can remember for 2020. This is the prayer. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 to 9. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness, or in another translation, gentleness, be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellent, if there is any worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned, Paul said, what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, in Paul, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. So Ruth says to me, according to the study Bible in 2019, these verses are the most highlighted verses of the Bible. I think we need to know God's will for 2020. I pray that every one of us become a person of prayer, become a family of prayer, become a church of prayer. What is the barrier of joy and peace, or what can take away our joy and peace? If we ask this question, what can take away our joy and peace? My answer is because of our expectation. Because expectation makes us filter what we see and what we read. For example, if someone told us the hotel room is very nice, very beautiful, very clean, very bright, and they has a good views. And then when we came to the hotel and we saw the room is not as what we expected, then we feel disappointed. It would be different if we were told that the hotel is like a prison cell. Then we come to the hotel, we say, wow, this is very good. So anything in this life to do with our expectation. Like when we drive in Jakarta, if you try to keep with the traffic rule, you won't drive. You just keep stay in the intersection for the whole night, for the whole day. But here in Australia, if you are expected to give way and you keep on driving, then you can get every curse that you don't want to hear. This is something to do with our expectation. Many Christians come into the Christian life without proper expectations. That's why many Christians get disappointed. When we were unsafe, or when we did not know God yet, our enemy is only God, a good person who died for us on the cross. This is what we try to make war with God before we knew God. Like Romans chapter 8 verse 7 says, for the sinful nature is always hostile to God. We were born in enmity to our God. Like a small kitten who fell in the river, and everybody come try to rescue him. But because he was scared, he tried to scratch everyone who want to save him. Until one little boy, they just catch the kitten and hug him, even though he scratched him. This is our situation and condition before we knew God. God tried to rescue us, but because we are scared, we try to make war with God. But as soon as we make peace with God, when we were saved, all God's enemies become our enemies. This is our Christian. As a Christian, we have to believe all God's enemies become our enemies. The enemies can only take our joy and peace to make us feel miserable, but the enemy cannot take us from our Savior. What is our enemies? Our enemy is the worldview, the flesh, and the devil. This is three enemies in the Bible. I will come back to these enemies. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8, Paul says, we are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We are, as a Christian, we are unsinkable because of our unchanging privilege in our God. Now, first is our expectation. We have, as a Christian, we have to be expected that all God's enemies are our enemies. And what is joy, sad, and happy? I want to try to define what is joy. The opposite of joy is not sadness, because we can feel joyful even though we are sad. I hope everyone is agree with me. Happiness comes from the comfort of having something we want. If we want something and we get it, then we feel happy. That is happiness. Joy is a deep assurance of security. Deep assurance in our heart, security, it comes from having the only thing that matters. That is joy. If you got something to hold on, that's the only thing that matters. That is joy. I have example in the Bible. That is Luke chapter 10, verse 38 to 42. That is about Mary and Martha. One day, Jesus with his disciple came to Mary and Martha's house. And Martha is a very generous and serving, and she tried to do many things to make the guests happy. But Mary, who just sit down on the feet of Jesus. And when Martha talked to Jesus, "Hey, Lord, told my sister to help me because I'm so busy." What the Lord says, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious about anything. And you are anxious and troubled by many things. But one thing that is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion which will not taken away from her. That is the fellowship with Jesus. The relationship, loving relationship between Mary and Jesus is the most important things. Martha was too busy. Too many things to do. She has too many goals, like most of us. Too many goals, too many things to achieve. Martha desired approval, and Mary was single-minded, focused on Jesus. Joy is a deep assurance because we have the one thing that matters in this world. That is joy. The opposite of joy is hopelessness. We become hopeless when we rest on the pleasure of the blessing instead of the pleasure. Most of us, we enjoy on our blessing, but we forget our pleasure. When Paul wrote this letter to the Philippians, he was in the Roman prison. So that's why he can write a lot of joy or rejoice. Maybe we think if we have a good life, that is okay for us to talk about joy or rejoice. But Paul, he wrote the letter to the Philippians while he was in the prison. And can you imagine, is prison a pleasant place? Prison is a lot of misery and trial or condition opposite to where we get joy. Paul used the words joy or rejoicing 16 times. You can count it 16 times in the 104 verses of his letter to the Philippians. Philippians only 4 chapters and 104 verses. And he wrote 16 times about joy and rejoicing. So Paul, his joy is not anchored in the circumstances, but in his Savior. Therefore, he said, rejoicing in the Lord always, anytime. As Christian, we should be an expert in rejoicing according to the Bible. But we are scared because we are focused on the pleasure of the blessing rather than of the blesser. And then when we talk about Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 to 6, after rejoice, and we talk after joy and rejoicing, we talk about peace. Peace means steadiness. Peace is the confidence and trust in God's control in our life. That is peace. There is a steadiness. We trust in God's control in our life, and that is peace, the definition of peace. The opposite of peace is worry and anxiety. I want to go through worry and anxiety, a bit of worry and anxiety, so we can cope with worry and anxiety in 2020. Worry is defined as the thinking part of anxiety. When we talk about worry, always to do with our mind. A series of thoughts and images that are full of negative emotion. This is worry. We are very creative with a negative thinking. That is worry. These thoughts are really uncontrollable. Worry is, we can control worry. These thoughts are rarely uncontrollable, but they are focused on something that has an uncertain outcome. Basically, focus on the future. That is worry. We are very creative in our mind for everything that is negative, that is worry. When you are worried, you are preoccupied with something about yourself. That's why when we are worried, we are very, very selfish. We think about ourselves. And when you are worried, you think of the what ifs. And your mind creates the worst of all possible outcome. Worry is a disease of imagination that slowly, subtly overtake and dominate your life. That is worry. What if I drive off of the garage and I got accident? When I die, what about my children? What about my husband? He might marry again. What if my husband lose his job? I can't pay the mortgage. Where should I live with my children? What about if I lost my job? I lose my job. And how can I finance my children? What if, that is worry. A disease of imagination with a negative emotion, that is worry. Worry can be proved with a brain, electrical brain activity or EEG. The graphic, we can prove it in the medical field. Or 80% of stomach disorder caused by worry, 80%, because the acid in our stomach increase because of the hormone. And worry affects our sleep. Fear and worry are first cousins. Worry and anxious cannot be separated. Worry and anxiety both refer to the inner unrest we experience in fearful and stressful situation. Anxiety is God-given. That makes us alert and prepare for the fearful situation so we can avoid the fearful situation. That's why God gives us anxiety. A little anxiety is normal amount that can enhance our performance as an athlete, as a businessman, as a student or employee. We need a bit fear so we can perform better. But nowadays, a lot of us, even though Christian, we are addicted to worry and anxiety. A response of fear we can measure through the physiology. We're sweating, we have muscle tension, we have rapid pulse rate, we have fast breathing. And if anxiety that disrupt our lifestyle, that become an anxiety disorder. And nowadays, doctor, psychologist, psychiatrist, they diagnose depression, anxiety, worry. It's like every flu season, everyone get virus infection. This is very common in our society, worry and anxiety. Anxiety could be a genetic, or if your family member helps your parent or your sister or brother who get easy with worry, become a warrior, so we can learn from them. They give us a role model to be a warrior. Worry can be learned. Worry is genetic, yes. There's some worry, anxious, that is genetic, yes. That is biochemical, yes, that's right. But we can be learned. That can also be learned from our family member. And maybe you got a trauma as a child that can cause you anxiety and worry. Easy to get anxiety and worry. So, and according to expert, this is very interesting. According to the expert, people with tendency to have huge expectation and the need of approval from everyone is prone to be anxious. This is really, really, we need to know this. Because if your mind thinks of these things, I need approval, I need to achieve what I expect, that your mind will be affected with the biochemistry that causes you to be anxious. If you have a huge or big expectation, that is not matched with your capacity, or you need to get approved from everyone. That is very important, that everyone like you, everyone approve of you. Then we are prone to be anxious. This is according to the expert. Anxiety may stem from unconscious feeling. Anxiety are coming from the unconscious feeling. But worry is a conscious, worry is a conscious choice of an ineffective method in coping with life. I repeat again. Anxiety may stem from unconscious feeling, anxiety, unconscious feeling. But worry is a conscious choice of an ineffective method in coping with life. That is worry. And Oswald Chambers, a theologian and writer, said, when we choose to worry, it implies an absence of trust in God. When we choose to worry, we choose not to trust in our God. Since scriptures instruct us not to worry, this lack of trust is God in God is certainly a sin. But when a person is genetically wired toward the tendency of worry, that is not a sin, but a disease. So I come back for three of our enemy. What robs us? What robs our joy and peace? Three our enemies. The word few. The first one is the word few. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. The word few is secularism. Secularism means we think only here and now that is matter. Never think on the future, but here and now. What I feel, I decide according to my feeling. Feeling is become our God nowadays. Our view is influenced by commercials, by Disney movie or Korean movie, by Hollywood lifestyle, even our marriage and family. If I don't feel I'm loved, if I don't love anymore, then let us go a separate way. And for teenager and young adult, a lot, most teenager and young adult are trying to fit into the contemporary expectation set by the culture of their peers. A lot of young people trying to fit into the contemporary expectation that's set by our society or their peers. Their fashion, they are slave to the expectation of their peers and the big industry that market fashion, music, technology, and entertainment. We are slave by them. Most of the young people or most of us want to be accepted by society. And what is popular, that is cool. At the end, we are compromising to the value of our society in order to fit in. If you want to be accepted and not to be mocked during junior or high school, you must dress and act to please your peers. There is no room to be different. And most of us, we want desperately to be liked, to be rejected by friends or our peers. That can cause us feel very devastating. This is the word view. And the second one, the flesh. Romans chapter 8, verse 7, the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. For it does not submit to God's law, indeed it cannot. What is the flesh? The flesh is not our body, no. This is a part of us that want to be God. This is our flesh. We want to be God, we want to be glorified, we want to be in charge in everything. This is our flesh. And this is the enemy of God. We need to have in charge. This is not always power. You can be in charge if everybody like you. And that is our problem as a Christian. A boy, when he was an unbeliever, he tried to date as many girls he wanted. And he just felt need to be in charge. After he was saved, he went to the church and he repented from impurity, from sexual immorality, because he thought that was not acceptable in the church. And then what he does in the church, what he did in the church, in the life group, he tried to show off his Bible knowledge. He tried to get ministry, to do a lot of ministry, to get approval by the people, because his flesh need to be in charge. And I hope in this church, nobody like this. We need to get approval to be in charge. We need to be like. We need to people like us, so we get the power and be in charge. And the third one, the flesh. The flesh is our desire to be God in control and to get our own glory. That is the flesh. And our third enemy is the devil. The devil is very obvious. John chapter 10, verse 10, the thief comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And many people, they blame devil for anything that happened to his life. But now we know we have three enemies: the worldview, our flesh, and the devil. The devil cannot take us from our Savior, but he can destroy our joy and peace by lying and accusing us. Do you call yourself a Christian? Yes, right. You are holy. You are hypocrite, and so on. He make us doubt on our Savior. Peter, when he was afraid, when Jesus was caught by the soldier, because Peter was afraid, he denied Jesus for 3 times. The devil cannot take us from our Savior, but he make us doubt, unbelief, so that we are denied our Savior. These three enemies operate together in our life, and they cause almost all the church problems, because of this depression is very, very complicated case. When you are depressed, not only the devil, because of your worldview, because of your flesh, and then the devil join in. So how do we get peace? Philippians chapter 4, we talk about joy, sad, hopelessness, we talk about fear, we talk about worry and anxiety. And now, how the Bible give us the answer. How do we get peace? Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, Paul said, in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. In everything, we say to ourselves, in everything. That means the Bible said God knows even before we ask. But Philippians, God said, in everything, we have to make our request be made known to God. In everything. Why in everything we have to make our prayer known to God? When we pray, we make a statement to God, we make a statement to word, to the world, and we make a statement to ourselves, to our conscience, that we can do anything without God. That's why we pray. In everything, we have to be to make known to God with a statement, God, I can't do anything without you. That is the purpose of prayer. What does it mean with thanksgiving? When you make your request and you pray, you thank God. We ask and then we thank God. How can it work? We ask, we thank God for any outcome that is good for us. That means we have a heart of humility and non-demanding mindset. Lord, I pray, if you said you answer me with no, that is good. I trust your judgment because you are good. I trust you. You know what is best for us. If you say wait or no, that is also good. But because I trust you, you are God, you are sovereign, you know what is best for your creature. That's why we have to thank God when we pray. Thank you for any answer or any outcome. Because he is a wise and loving father. So, when I talk about peace in the Bible, I just give a little bit explanation. Peace with God and peace of God. Peace with God when we say our salvation prayer and we receive Jesus as our Lord, as our Savior, that is peace with God. Peace of God is a fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians 5, chapter 5, verse 25, 21, 22, what is the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, and peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, passion, gentleness, and self-control. That is 9 become a whole from the one Spirit, from the one Spirit of God, from the Holy Spirit. We have 9 fruit. We cannot have one and not the other. That is a whole packet for one Spirit. That is the fruit of the Spirit. That is peace of God. We may know some people who are patient, gentle, who have very patient and very gentle, but they are not love. They have no love and not generous. But other people who are very generous, very faithful, and it shows self-control, but they live with worry and anxious anxiety. They don't have peace and joy. So we cannot have one but not the other. The whole packet is from the one Spirit. We have only with the Spirit can its fruit manifest in our life as a whole. So, my conclusion. In 2020, we must be aware that God has designed prayer because he will act for us when we pray. He designed prayer, even though he knows our hearts, he designed prayer because he wants us to pray. If we pray, he will act on our behalf. This is our God. He has promised to do for us things we cannot do for ourselves. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, Jesus said, ask, it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. James chapter 4, verse 2, it says, you don't have because you do not ask. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Again, I read it again. Do not be anxious about anything. Not anxious about anything. Even your business fall, your study fail, don't be anxious. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace, this is the promise of God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Jesus Christ. The Bible promised that a life of faithful, Christ-dependent, Christ-exalting prayer will be a life protected from anxiety and worry by God's grace. I repeat again. The Bible promises that a life of faithful and Christ-dependent, Christ-exalting prayer will be the life protected from anxiety and worry by God's grace. In this year 2020, you can have victory over worry and anxiety and the steady enjoyment and of God's peace. Paul's prescription is, in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. This is the main point. And Paul says, finally, brother, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is commendable, whatever is excellent and worthy to be praised, think about these things. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Paul occupied his mind with these things so that he can have joy even though he was in the prison. We don't just pray in crisis, but stay in mindset of a prayer all day long so we can have our joy and peace in God. In our culture, emotion or feeling become God for many people. Many people make decisions based on their feeling. When we let our requests be made known to God, in form of prayer, in many specific requests for help, with a heart that is thankful for everything God designed for us, even the pleasure, the pain, like Paul in the prison, then his peace will guard our mind and heart and free us from worry and anxiety in a way that cannot be explained with our logic or with our reason. But the Bible said it surpasses all understanding. May the Lord make you feel the joy, the wonder, the power, the privilege, and the peace of a life of prayer. And I pray for this year, we become a church of prayer, a person of prayer, a leader of prayer, a family of prayer. And God bless you.
Church, why don't we all stand up again?
You are here, touching every heart. I worship you, yes, God. I worship you. You are here, healing every heart. I worship you.
Come on, with your face, sing it out.
Oh, you are here. You are here, turning lives around.
Amen.
I worship you.
Oh yes, you are here.
You are here.
Oh.
love you, Jesus. Thank you. I hope you are all blessed by the servants. If you have anything to share that we can pray with you, please don't hesitate to come front, and we would like to pray with you. Okay? Would you like to raise up your hands, please? Lord, you are so good. You are so good. Thank you for opening our heart, mind, to understand our enemy. And this morning, we promise you, Lord, we would like to commit ourselves, our life, more in prayer, coming to you. We make a choice to be closer to you, Lord, and reading your word and listening to you, so that a miracle will happen in our lives. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you for understanding us, Lord. Church, as we continue with our life this week, the Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. He turn his face toward you and give you peace. I'm speaking blessing upon your life. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you.